Title given, which we're going to talk about, and that is faith is keeping our eyes on Jesus. Faith is keeping our eyes on Jesus. That is ultimately what faith is. So if anybody asks us, what is faith? What is your faith? What is the faith? Well, what is it about? It is simply keeping our eyes on Jesus. Because when our eyes are on Jesus, they are upon his word, the Holy Spirit, and all the blessings that come. That is what faith is in keeping our eyes on Jesus. It is what Jesus has provided for us at Calvary. And it's that that we believe in and put our whole life and trust in that. So that is what we're talking about this evening. Faith is keeping our eyes on Jesus. Now, we're learning, aren't we, that the Word made flesh is also a living person. And I think at times we tend to forget that when we read the Word of God, that the Word of God, the revelation of God's Word, is from a living being who is alive forevermore. It is the Father's heart. It is Him speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. And that is why this book and the Word of God is so different from any other book that we have on planet Earth. And this is why you can only understand the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, who has come to teach us and lead us and guide us. The Holy Spirit makes the Word of God alive to us. Because you cannot separate in the Godhead the Holy Spirit from God. They are all one in manifestation, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but they are all one in agreement, in everything that they do. You cannot separate. So when you read the Word of God, or you hear the Word of God, anointed by the Spirit, you cannot separate Jesus and the Father, who are there, involved in their fullness. This is why, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes baptizing us, presenting to us the personality of Christ himself. And as our eyes and our faith upon him, that unites us in oneness with the Father also. So all of God is involved in your faith, in your commitment, your consecration, your reading, and your listening to the Word of God. This is why we have faith. And faith is so important. It's not just a mere intellectual lesson in reading or memorizing verses. It's much more than that. We know this through the parable of the sower. It is seed being sown into the heart. It is the heart being worked on day and night, every second and moment of our earthly walk in this life. The reason God has us in this room tonight is to work on our hearts so that we can believe and reach out for more. Because we're told in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. And yet so often it is understated or not understood. And this is why we're calling this teaching tonight, Faith is Keeping Our Eyes on Jesus. Because he is a living person, alive, today, now, this moment. He always has been and he always will be. There never was a time when he was not. And time was created in him for us. But God is not bound by time. So that is where we're coming from tonight. Our faith is from a living person and his name is Jesus. You see, Satan often attacks where God isn't so applicable today. And that is what is happening. As we lose sight of Jesus, and even many professing Christians don't really have sight, visual sight upon him as they should. So where there is a lack of Christ himself, you will find that the devil is very active. And this is where he attacks. And that is why society is confused. And this is where those who are educated or those that go to university or even theological college don't necessarily understand. Because we have to be touched. Our eyes and hearts have to be touched. Otherwise, we do not see. We think we might understand. Man thinks he understands God. He thinks he understands the word of God, but he does it in his own pride, in his own intellect. This is why we say so often that faith, the knowledge of faith, is above man's level of intellect. It is even above Einstein and all the great intellects throughout the ages. Our faith, our understanding is of a much higher knowledge and understanding. Why? Because flesh and blood cannot reveal it. It comes from above. This is why the Bible is the most anointed and precious word above all books in the universe. And very interestingly, I'm told that the Bible is still the most sold book throughout the world. That's very interesting, isn't it? So, here we are. We are to have faith and to believe God and to believe his promises. You see, there are many ways of approaching God and learning his word. There are many who make excuses as to why they don't really know the word of God, or they don't spend the time in it, or they don't believe in it, because they'll say to you, well, life is too hectic. My life is too complicated. You can't follow God the way that it's shown in the word of God. Who can do that today? You see? So all you hear is the negative, the unbelief. Man's intellect trying to get in the way of the promises of God's word. And the two are completely opposed. They're like fire and water. You see, the world is idolatrous. And there are huge hindrances in the world. But has God made a mistake? Has he made a mistake in calling us from the foundation of the world? Has he made a mistake over your life, my life? No, because he's sovereign, he is God. And therefore, He has given us the ability, the wherewithal, the empowerment to believe in his word. Because all he has said, it takes a mustard seed of faith in which to move that mountain. So God can, and he is, and he does, because he's still the same. And we have that faith like all the saints of old and our Lord himself. We have that faith to believe. And it comes on the basis of seeking Jesus, your eyes on him. Your relationship with him is your faith. And the word of God, which we read and we hear, is to cause us to look away and to look to him. Everything you read in the word of God, and particularly in the Psalms, is so that you look away from circumstances, from feelings, obstacles, everything the enemy tries to throw in our way, so that we can look to Jesus, who is the author, finisher of our faith. He is the object of our faith. And that's where the enemy tries to keep your eyes away from. And the question is, are we going to let him do it? It's entirely up to us. You see, seeking Jesus is a revelation, because flesh and blood can't do it. So it's way, way above your thinking, your emotions, your efforts, even how much you try to pray or how much you read the word. All of that has a place. But seeking Jesus is a revelation to your life, to your heart, to your whole being. And we tend to forget this with regard to faith. You see, whatever he says in the natural never makes sense. Because it is a revelation seeking Jesus, whatever he is saying to you or to all of us corporately, and what he says in his word, never makes sense. It is ridiculous. It can even be laughable. And this is why the world jeers and it makes a joke of us. The world feels sorry for us because we believe what Jesus says. And it will always, always go against what we see, what we feel, what we touch, against everything. If you receive in the natural, the carnal, what Jesus is saying to us, it will never, ever make sense. And that is why we need to be empowered, baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need to be worked upon by the Holy Spirit so that we are no longer captive to these emotions, these senses that we're bound by. Now they have their place and God has placed them there. But where faith and belief is concerned, it is above all of that. And that is why the scriptures show us that we're seated above in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We are above it all. Your knowledge, your revelation, your learning from Jesus is above the world and how the world lives and acts and so on. And that is how we start to walk by faith and not by sight. But it never makes sense in the natural. And the reason we walk by faith is because it puts Christ first. That is why we have faith. We have faith. God has ordained it for the very purpose, because it puts Christ Jesus first in your life, my life, in this meeting, in his church, and so forth. That is why faith is so important, because Christ is so important to the Christian. Now, we know in the scriptures very well, in Matthew 6:33, where he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, we read that, we know it, we can recite it, we've heard it many, many times, but do we really understand what is actually being said there? That is the question. To seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Well, let's look at the first word. We need to look at these words. In this case, in the Greek, it says to seek, doesn't it? Seek ye first. Well, what is our understanding then to seek? There may be a little bit more to this than actually we thought about. You see, to seek also implies to think. And not only is it in thinking, but it also implies to meditate. Also, the understanding of this word to seek means to inquire, to reason it out. So in other words, God has given you and I a brain, and he's going to use that brain, which is a gift for God, for his use, for his glory, so that we reason, we inquire, we meditate, we think upon the idea of seeking first the kingdom. It's not just mere words. It is something that you learn. You get a knowledge about, so that you can have an experience when we say seek first the kingdom. You know what the kingdom is about because you have inquired of God. You are learning about it. You are praying. You are reading the scriptures. You are hearing the teaching. This is the idea to seek. Now we have something here that really pertains to this. For example, in Matthew 7, Matthew chapter 7, and verses 7 to 8, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be open." There is the idea of seeking, learning, meditating, inquiring. In other words, you have a hunger within you. You want to know what the kingdom is about. I want to experience this kingdom that I am going to. I want to see more of this kingdom, the kingdom of God, that I am to put first, to seek first. And this is where the Holy Spirit, he will teach you. He will reveal this to you. He will cause you to experience this, and you will begin to know then what it means by seeking first the kingdom. This is how you grow as disciples. Well, very well, we've looked at to seek. He then goes on to seek this kingdom. Now, what is this kingdom? What does the Greek have to say with regard to God's kingdom? Well, it means that it is right authority. It is the only authority. It is a right authority. Also, it means in seeking this kingdom, it is royal power. I love that. I bet most of us never knew that, but it's royal power. It's the rule of God. It is the key to entering into it by seeking it with all your heart, soul, mind and being. And we get an understanding of this in Matthew 5, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 with the Beatitudes and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There you are. In other words, you have dealt with the kingdom of self. And you have allowed the kingdom of self to be crucified by taking your cross up daily and following him. And therefore, that works so that you are lowly, you are poor in spirit. In other words, you are teachable, you're not proud, so that God can begin to teach you his kingdom. That you're seeking it is not in vain. Well, it doesn't stop there, does it? Because it goes on seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, what is our understanding of righteousness? Well, the Greek shows us it means that we are accepted by God, or we're acceptable to God. He has provided through Calvary, through the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, in dealing with our sin, that makes us acceptable to God. We can stand now in his presence, undefiled. Or it also means a state of approval. You're approved now by God. He has given royal approval for you to be able to stand and walk and be with him in relationship. He has made you right. In other words, it's a purity of life now that's beginning to work in and through us by the Holy Spirit. But it's not only that. Righteousness also means a correctness of thinking. And this is why God begins to work with our minds. We put on the mind of Christ. We cast down those thoughts, those imaginations, those fantasies. We allow the Holy Spirit to correct, to work on our minds, on our thinking. Righteousness also means it's active. And it also means that it affects our feelings. Oh, we like that one, because we're emotional beings. So that righteousness affects the whole being. Isn't that wonderful? And what does he say in Matthew 5 and verse 6? Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What does it say? For they shall be filled. So your righteous standing, being made right before God, which is a gift, is in order that you may be filled. Filled with what? The fullness of God. For of his fullness have we received. This is why I was preaching the other week, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because that is our experience of being made right, our righteousness in him. And we've already shown you what it is. And it says, all of this that will be added, it will be added to you, which means to gather to join. So in other words, we are gathering. We are taking in. We are storing in to the storehouse all the blessings of God. All the harvest that he has is being gathered, is being brought in order that we can have fellowship, that we can join together. That's what it means. All these things will be added unto you. And we get clear illustrations of that. Let's turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. And verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There is this idea to add, and all these things will be added unto you. Join together. They're receiving. God is empowering the church there. And let's look also in the same chapter in verse 47, praising God and having favour with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There again is this idea, when you seek the kingdom of God first, in other words, you are seeking Jesus, all these things will be added. Blessings to the church. And that is not an individual, that is a corporal. That's what it means. So it means that God will bless FGA when we have really learned and settled by putting Jesus first. Because he said, all of this will be added. And that is why I'm a believer of the greater works in the last day before the Lord comes. And that is what he's working on with us, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Well, let us move on with this. You see, our faith is real, and it real needs real objects in which to prove it. And this is why God allows obstacles, he allows trials, he allows experiences to show that your faith, my faith, is real. And that is why we come out of the other side and we have to say, God brought me through. That was God that sustained me. We all of us have a testimony and will continue to have testimonies because that is the object of our faith. You see, faith must be proved. Otherwise, it's just words. It's just theology. We have to know it's genuine. We have to know that our faith will meet every obstacle, will move every mountain to our life. It's our trials that help keep our eyes on Jesus. And you see, this is what stops man from becoming religious, from becoming a hypocrite. When you walk by faith and you go through trials and you are looking to the Lord, your faith is on him, that stops you being religious, because you're not only a hearer but a doer of the word. You're having to live it. And when you live it, it's a sign your eyes are firmly fixed on Jesus, who is alive, living today. So much of what we hear and that comes out of a lot of Christendom today is an abstract God. Airy-fairy. Up in the skies with the fairies. There's very little sustenance to it. And that's why our trials, it stops all of that. And that's why our faith is like a grain of mustard seed. And that is all that is needed in order for to believe. Isn't that wonderful how gracious and merciful our God is? Matthew 17 verse 20. Matthew 17 and verse 20. And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And isn't it wonderful? Here the disciples come to the Lord, verse 19, just like we do. We've all done it. Then came the disciples to Jesus privately and said, why could not we cast them out? They're despondent. They're raising questions. They're a bit down, depressed. And what does Jesus say? He doesn't say, well, carry on until you do believe. Just keep watching me and eventually you'll come to that faith. No, he doesn't say that. And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, but he doesn't stop there. For verily I say, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed. So come on. That's all I'm asking for. And that was to encourage. And it's to encourage us when we feel at times we don't have any faith. I wonder whether I'm Christian or whatever it is. Come on. Jesus said, okay, there's unbelief there. But all I want to see is a mustard seed of faith. You see? And yes, rightly so, as it says in verse 20, howbeit this kind cometh out except by prayer and fasting. And of course, that's casting out of demons. And so there is a place for that. Sometimes we need to pray and fast because there's just obstacles to faith, to believing. But the Holy Spirit, he will lead you and guide you because he's ever there to work with you and I to believe. He's not going to leave us in a state of unbelief and confusion. That is his love to us. Even when our eyes are firmly fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the object to our faith. And so you see, our faith keeps our eyes on Jesus to help us trust in him and his character. Because in his character, he is faithful. He is faithfulness. And the trials of our faith are so often in nature because of daily living in this world. We live in a fallen world. And so because we live in a fallen world, so often we have to be in faith to believe. And our trials that we go through are as a result, the world is fallen. Man is fallen. And we are being restored. We are walking through in this life. And so faith is essential to walk this walk in a fallen world. And your faith is your eyes firmly fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and no one else. Man cannot have that faith for you, and yet the churches run to the arm of the flesh every time. And that's why they're in confusion and unbelief and so on. And so our faith, as I bring it to a close now, is to keep our eyes on him and him alone. Faith will really be tested in tribulations. So our faith is going to be tested. Some of us tonight who are in the room, your faith is being tested. But let's finish with some verses. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That is certainly going to be for many who are left behind, who will face the great tribulation. That is Revelation 2, verse 10. And then our final scripture is Matthew 24 and verse 13. Matthew 24 and verse 13. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So, that is what is encouraging us in these last days. This is not so much to salvation of the soul of the believer. It is one who endures through persecutions. It's one who's delivered out of trials. Ready, walking when the Lord comes. And we know first he's going to come in the clouds. He's going to come for the overcomers. So it'll be those who are being delivered. It's those who are coming through trial. It's those who are remaining faithful, keeping their eyes upon Jesus and not taking any substitutes. That's what it means by staying with it. So who do we keep our eyes on? It is on Jesus. And when you keep your eyes on Jesus, that is your faith, because that is what makes your faith personal. It makes it living. It makes it alive. And he ministers all of that to us through the precious Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our meeting tonight. Thank you that you have brought us into your presence. You have spoken to us and encouraged us. You have taught us and you have shown us more what it is to seek you. Father, when we think we know and we've learnt certain things, we find yet there's more and more added. There's more of that fresh manna to partake and eat of. But Lord, we thank you that you encourage us to believe. You're always there to show us, Lord, that all it just is and needed is a mustard seed of faith, and that will move mountains. Forgive us, Lord, when we doubt you. Forgive us, Father, when we start to take our eyes away from you, and instead we start to look to the winds and the waves, and we find ourselves beginning to sink. And your loving, gracious arms and hands are there to raise us up, to cause us to look back to our first love, who is Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray you'll be with my brothers and sisters through this week. Be with their going out and their coming in. Always cause your face to shine upon them. Help them to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Keep their eyes, their heart, their whole being looking to Jesus and no one else. And Father, I pray that they will experience more and more of this supernatural, miraculous walk that we are to walk. Help them, Father, not to rely on man, the arm of the flesh, seeking advice from man, but always going to you first. Lord, I pray that you will accomplish that with each of us. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
A life down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.